بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. This being a beach jamaat is making gush in New Zealand, and some woman spotted the jamaat while they're making gush, so she insisted that she wants to see those two or three youngsters that were out on gush on that day. So she explained that she's a non-Muslim and she used to be a Muslim in some zamana, and she turned away, na'uzu billah. But she says that she wants to come back to Islam. So being an old woman, perhaps 70, 80 years of age, got interested, and where are you from originally? South Africa. Where about in South Africa? Durban. Where about in Durban? Spingo Beach. Where about in Spingo Beach? This madrasa property. That used to be Catherine's property. And she may have been a white woman or whatever. And she was living in that. What was your original name? Umme Kulsum. So we always like to trace our origins. So this was the origin of the Sumania, right? And this Jamaat work is such, if it's done in the right way, it's such that in its simplicity, there's so much of attraction. As an old woman, and she doesn't know them for a bar of soap, they don't know her, but she wants to see them. And then just their patrolling, just their going out for gush, is attracting this woman here. Come back to your roots. It's a good omen for us also, inshallah, that may Allah make it that anybody that was in this house, or that will be in this house, or is in this house, in this whole place, Allah let them come online. If they are online, Allah keep them stronger. And if they drifted, let them come back. Number two, the second lesson that we learn in this is, no matter how much a person has drifted, don't you lose hope. Do your work, your gush, whatever is supposed to be done, you do your work. As-sa'yu minni wal-itmamu min Allah ta'ala. ہمارا کام تو محنت کرنا ہے. Our work is to do the effort. In the effort there's two things that's very important. One is presentation, right? It's important. But more than the presentation is the level of ikhlas, the fikr, the concern that you've got. Otherwise, people that, the names that were taken, simple people. But it astonishes me that the simplicity, the simple movement, and how it brought a murtad, an apostate, back to Islam. Simple movement, it was being gush, doing their patrol. Perhaps they had a tasbih in the hand, had the gaze low, and they were making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all put together, it attracted this person here. Man that has turned away, to get him back is very difficult. A new person to get him is all right. But a person that has turned away from Islam, and to bring back to Islam, is really, really an effort. So we see the simplicity of Islam, the effect, the magnetic effect it has. So when we're so interested about our origins, then isn't it equally important that we worry and we're concerned about the origin of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Who was he? What was the background? How this whole mission started off? Remember, one is that we don't become despondent at any point, no matter what happens. But number two, we don't become complacent. Number three, we don't become overconfident. So these are all the roads, all the ways that Shaitan attacks you. Either you become despondent, you leave the work, Or you become complacent, I'm doing all right, enough. The second way for shaitan to attack you. And the third is to become overconfident. Is ajabatkum kathratukum. See, you became overconfident over yourself. So these are the ways that your road gets jammed up. Maybe a small thing, but then the way it jams you up, you begin to think, you know, how a person like me, and how I got jammed up. Allah speaks about a story, Bal'am Ba'ura, right? And they say that he was an alim of the time, Torah, Injil, he knew it, very well versed. And apart from him being very well versed, he was also a mustajab al-da'wat. His du'as are answered. He asked for something and his du'as are answered. So on the one end he's got the ilm, on the other end his du'as are answered. And it was public news at the time that this person, you got a problem, go to him, he'll make du'a, things will work out for him. But you see this complacency and this becoming overconfident, really. You want to jam your roads, you want to jam your progress, then become overconfident. Let your nazar go on to yourself. Sometimes people say, alright, what about that Buzrugan Adin? And sometimes they speak about their achievements, right? Like in RBT, some stories you'll get, right? Well, the Shaykh Hamza says that I used to wonder about the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and his achievements, right? And then he writes his own achievements, his own experiences. I saw Abhisam at this time, and this was the advice that was given to me, this was the blessings that I enjoyed. So I used to wonder that he's speaking about himself. Until I had gone through the same experience. You come to a certain point, and then you are divinely instructed that now you must speak about it. Amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. And if you don't speak about it, then sometimes you can get stuck. Now it's an instruction, you have to comply and conform with an instruction. But all of us cannot say that we are the Shaykh al-Hadith. We cannot say that we are that level. So no, he did it, so I can do it. He did it, I can do it. Yes, he did it, but look at the level he was. And when he did it from his level. So you need to still escalate and then imitate. But without escalating, without coming to that level, and we just try and imitate. So Hazrat Shaykh used to speak about these things, about his own self, right? His own experiences and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, how Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. And then he realized this when he was himself involved in it. Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah is in a position where he's being instructed to do it. Shaykh now, he's come to that level, he's being instructed to do it. Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullah. They normally, most of them are Naqshbandiya. And Naqshbandiya, there's a lot of meditation that they do. So their zikr will go more silently. Our zikr will go a little bit loudly, right? Now, these are all different approaches. Different methods, like how in medicine, you have one reflexology and others, whatever, right? So all approaches, but all taking you to the same end. So, on this side is a lot of reflection, muraqabah, that is required, right? When Mirza Sahib was quite young, was extremely handsome. So he had a nice big circle of friends. But as he grew up now, then the friends all scattered. But one friend remained with him. Now he's advanced in age, 70, 75 or something. Whereas he's advanced in age, now suddenly he thinks, you know, I had one friend who was very loyal. I don't see him for some time. 15, 20 years now, is he living, dead, whatever. So he made dua, made muraqabah, made dua. And in that whole commotion, he thought, alright, let me make dua for him, let me just make tawajjuh on him. this friend that was very loyal to me, well, let me make tawajjuh, let me be, you know, it's a payback time, that he showed me that loyalty, and it doesn't seem right that I must not appreciate this loyalty that he's shown. So, in showing tawajjuh and turning towards him, now he saw that this person that I was showing tawajjuh towards, I'm getting consumed in the ocean of his spirituality. I thought I'll pass on something to him, but I'm getting drowned in his spirituality. He's so great that I'm getting drowned. I'm overwhelmed. So when he saw himself getting overwhelmed in this manner, so he said, hey, now I'm getting into problems, but I'm seeing like I'm drowning. He's so great that I tried to show him some help, but I understood that I'm a small little boat here, and he is such a mighty tanker. I tried to help him, I'll get into problems. So the right way is to go and ask him to speak to him, you know. That, correct, you know, you better just help me out here. So he went up to him, and he says, you know what? So this friend here, now he says, you know what? See, in our childhood days, we all used to be playing, right? And we'll tease each other, we'll try and harass each other. Right? Now, I want you to show the same behavior to me now on a Jummah in Jama Masjid when the hundreds are moving out. You know? I don't know if you'll see that Jama Masjid. You can take about 20,000 people you can take. And when the people are leaving, in that same avenue that people are leaving, you must be there, I'll be there, and you must harass me. What you must do, you must take my trophy, throw it out somewhere, my belongings, throw it on one side, my musalla, kuya from under me and throw it on one side. So Shah Sahib says, Mirza Sahib says to him, but you know, in front of everybody, and to do this type, to have this type of behavior at this age, when you are considered as a buzurg as well, I am also respected, and you are also respected, I must do this. Well, I'm not going to return this to you. You know, the spirituality that is gone from you, that you drowned now, that I won't return it. Now, on the Jummah now, when the multitudes are leaving the masjid, and these two buzurgs are playing around, maybe the entrance now, he's putting musalla and all that. So, in buzurgo ka kya ho gaya? What's happened to them? So we're talking about our origins, you know. We can't become despondent, we can't become complacent, and we can't become overconfident. As we progress, then our yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala must progress accordingly. We must see things even more clearly. Before we had that yaqeen, alright, Allah Pak does. Now it must become not just lip service. It must be like a reality. Definitely Allah Ta'ala does. Each coming day, and we're seeing Allah Ta'ala, and we're seeing Allah Ta'ala more clearly, every day. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةِ دُنْيَا لَهُ وَلَعِبُ Allah Ta'ala understands that at the beginning you want some play, you want some entertainment, right, amusement, right. In fact, your parents also understand that when you're small, they buy your toys and all that, entertainment, gifts and all that. Entertain you with these type of things. Amuse yourself, they know that when you are at the age of 3, 4, 5, they can't put you into rigid learning, that you're still in that age where you need some play, right? So they grow you up, nurture you gradually. Right? When you're of that age, then they encourage you towards talim. But straight away, they don't. There's a problem with some parents, from a very early age, and they will overload the child. Go for one tuition, go for another madrasa, go for another period, right? And they want to overload the child. Now that's against the philosophy of teaching. Why it is against the philosophy of teaching is because it is his childhood. He needs to grow out of his childhood. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدَيْ يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ Send him with us. Brother the thing, the father, Yaqub al-Islam, send him with us. He'll play around a little bit. So they understand it's an age. In that age, they need to do some playing, right? But in a permissible environment, not raw and rough, right? So Allah Ta'ala understands, right, that you need to grow out of it. But then you come now at the age of 55, 60, 75, एंड यू तुम्हारा खेलना भी बंद नहीं हुआ शुगोइंग बोलिंग ऑन ए वेंसडे अकल मारी गई मैं एट दिस एज नाउ स्टिल यू नीड टू डू योर टेनिस योर बोलिंग इट्स अ डिफरेंट फेज ऑफ योर लाइफ नाउ इट्स द लास्ट फेज ऑफ योर लाइफ यू आर मेक इट अदर यू ब्रेक इट यू आर इनफ वी डोंट स्टॉप यू फ्रॉम योर स्पोर्ट्स एंड ऑल दैट इन योर इन्फेंसी बट नाउ यू आउट ऑफ इट नाउ लुक फॉर हायर ऑब्जेक्टिव्स हायर होराइजन्स व्हाट्स देयर द प्रॉब्लम इज दैट we don't think, we don't reflect that there is a life beyond this life. And that life has got a far greater meaning, a greater experience. It's got greater excitement, far, far greater. And because we don't know about the excitement on that side, therefore we want to spend all, use up all our energy here. Everything, what you got, just use it up here. Unfortunately, when we get caught into this culture here, right, the Western culture, more or less godless culture, then we just want to do everything for ourselves here. It's got three elements. Do for yourself and do it here. Do, but do for yourself only and do it here. As though there is no life beyond this life. And the teaching of the Anbiya alayhi salam says that do for your future, right? Do for your future and do not only for your future. You work out such a plan that it will work for you right till the end of time. Right till you get into Jannah, the thing is working for you. You do for your future and you do for your eternity. That's now the Anbiya alayhi salam style. That you do for your future and you do for your eternity. Now these people that are playing all these type of games, someone is playing golf and someone... I feel sorry for them. The reason I feel sorry for them is because they didn't think about the hereafter. When they didn't think how serious this matter is, they thought we need to entertain ourselves. Right? And they know within themselves that thing can't give you that level of satisfaction. Running around, smooth turf, playing ball this side here, that side here, everybody's watching us with the white uniforms and playing around. So it is just a little bit of amusement, a little bit of satisfaction. But really, it's not in keeping with the ages. That age of yours doesn't require you to do all this thing here. To be like this. Now it is for your retirement plan. You know when you're going to be retired. Our retirement is a permanent retirement. Hereafter, right? Retirement means no work. For the land that you're not going to do any work is the akhirat. But until here, you can't say you retired. Our retirement plan is with death. Then you rest forever. Karna ho, karlo jo kuch karna ho. सूरज के साये तले करना हो कर लो कर, जो कुछ करना हो कर लो सूरज के साया तले वरना सोना हो सो लो कब्र के साये तले व्हाटएवर यू कैन डू इट नाउ अंडर द सन डू इट अंडर द ब्रिलियंस ऑफ द सन डू व्हाटएवर यू कैन डू बिकॉज अदरवाइज आफ्टर दैट देन यू विल बी रिटायर्ड विल बी रेस्टिंग फॉर द रेस्ट ऑफ योर लाइफ. So whatever you can achieve now, a little moments, few moments here, there, wherever you can reap, enjoy, right, acquire. Otherwise you're going to be in permanent rest after that. Then to be crying, then it's too late, then you missed it. You had that opportunity, you had the chance, you could have reaped from here, you could have reaped from here, you could acquire this, you could acquire that. But now in all that, we misuse our time. There's a time to work, and there we were misusing. Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi says that our Ustad Allama Tartushi rahmatullahi, he recited this verse: "Man kana yarju liqa'a Rabbi falyamal amalan saliha wa la yushrik bi ibadati Rabbi ahada." Whoever is longing to meet Allah Ta'ala, you know, you anticipate, you longing for something. I explained this point earlier on, you know, some weeks back. That there is some person that you live, but you live for a short while, right? Some persons you will live with them for a longer period, right? But there is one being that you live with all the time. Someone, your class friends, etc., you live for a short period with them, right? They're happy with you, you're happy with them, you respect them, they respect you. That's your class children, yeah. People, contemporaries that grew up together, right? You have a little bit of a relationship with them. And then you have a life partner, wife. So you give more of your time to her, right? But remember, whoever it is, be it your caste fellow or be it your wife, right? There's going to be a moment of departure. You're going to separate at some point. Now, if you invested all your energy and your love into one of this, your class fellow, or into your wife, and you didn't invest yourself in the one that you're going to be living with permanently, then that meeting up will be difficult. Because all your love and attention, you just give it to one of these two. Swanya or Swanya. Number one or number two. You gave all your life, your energy, your time, your resources, you gave it to them. Now, when you gave it to them, did you leave anything for Allah Ta'ala? So, you give for Allah Ta'ala to the extent that you're going to be with Him. You give to them to the extent that you're going to be with them. To the point that you're going to be with them, to the point of need, you will give them. But to the point of need that you're going to be with Allah Ta'ala, then you give to Allah Ta'ala. Can you say that there's going to be any severance in that? It's eternity. It's perpetuality. It's a continuity. For that we'll give everything. We'll give everything. That is why Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says, I like that every Muslim should recite this frequently on the day. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mawati lillahi rabbil alameen la sharika lah. Wa bi dhalika umirtu wa ana ul muslimin. That my living, my dying, my prayers, my sacrifice, it's all for Allah Ta'ala, right? I've been commanded in this manner, and wa ana awwalul muslimin. One is that everything is for Allah Ta'ala, because this friendship is not a friendship that is short-term, short-lived. It's a permanent relationship. It's not a relationship that you have with any friend, no. It's not a relationship that you have with a wife. It's not a relationship that you have with a person that's going to give you advice. No. It's a permanent relationship. When it's going to be a permanent relationship, then you need to understand how we need to nurture this relationship. It must grow from strength to strength to strength. The bonding is growing to the point now that you long to meet Allah Ta'ala. You want to see Allah Ta'ala. Your mind and your heart is so consumed that you are wanting to meet Allah Ta'ala. Now when we don't do this, then our mind goes elsewhere. See, the mind, the human mind, is a very delicate thing, right? You don't drive it in the right, it will drive you to the wrong. Or it will drive you to things that are secondary. The point is now, the important thing is, do you drive it in the right way? Jafar ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, we'll come to his Allama Turshi's lesson, right? Jafar ibn Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, he says that I went to Khalifa Mansur. The Khalifa Mansur is the second Khalifa in the Abbasi Khilafat, right? Very prominent figure, righteous, very good person. Alright, every ruler has some discrepancy, some weakness, but overall a good person, great person. So he comes into the presence of Khalifa Mansur, and there is one Zubairi there. Maybe he's coming from the Zubair's Khandan, from that family, right? So he's sitting there. And this Zubairi, he feels that, no, I've been shortchanged by the king. The king didn't bless me like he's supposed to be blessing me. What I expected, what he gave me. And the king is feeling a little bit disappointed. He's disappointed. This Jafar is just coming in, and this Zubairi is feeling, oh, I've been shortchanged. I didn't get what I had expected, what I had dreamt of, I didn't get that. So as he walked in and he saw this whole scenario playing up, so he says, I've heard this hadith from my family elders, you know, because he's coming from the Jafar family, Jafar's family is coming, so I've heard it from my elders, they are reporting it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says that when a person gives, right, and he gives with happiness, he gives happily, right, then this is going to be a means of barakat for the one that is giving and the recipient. What I'm giving happily. I'm not pulling back, I'm not holding back, I'm giving good, And I'm giving it with a good heart. I'm giving what is good, and I'm giving with a good heart as well. The problem sometimes is that we don't give that which is good, or we don't give with a good heart. One of the two, right? Either we don't give that which is good, or we don't give with a good heart. So we need to give that which is good, and we need to give with good hearts. Because who is the recipient here? The recipient here is really Allah Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala is the recipient, you don't give scraps. Right? Because if someone gave you scraps also, you will feel disgusted. So how you treat Allah Ta'ala is how you will be treated. You give more scraps, all leftovers you will give. Right? So that's what you will get eventually. What you like, you will give. Alright? We can't say that you give all what you like. Some portion of what you like, you will give. Right? You've got a Merc, you've got a BM, you've got a Jaguar, right? So you don't say give all, but one of the cars that you like, give it away. That will be then your vehicle in the hereafter. You gave what you like, right? So Allah Pak will reward you accordingly. What I like, you know, it's a little bit of touching to the heart, you know. It's touching to the heart. I'm not giving all that, you know, that VW Beetle, that old style I got, it parked in my garage, you know. That old one. One person came here. He's quite a wealthy person. So, you know, I started my business. He said, I used to go to Transvaal and buy second-hand cars. And the first Beetle that I sold was about 40 rands. 1975-74 somewhere. But I sold that first Beetle of mine 40 rands. I don't think you'll give your child 40 rands spending for the day. He bought the thing and he sold it. So it means he bought it cheaper, about 25 rands, and he sold it for 40 rands. So when you're going to be giving, give that which is good. You don't have to give all which is good, but some portion of what you like. You know, it is touching to the heart. And you can't say that when it's going to be touching to the heart, it will not touch Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will appreciate it. It's what he likes this thing here. But my love is so much, he's got my love in his heart at the point that this thing he's giving for my love. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. For the love of Allah Ta'ala, he's giving it. For his love, I need to give this. So when you're going to be doing it for the love of Allah Ta'ala, then this is going to be a means for barakat for you and barakat for the recipient. Now Khalifa Mansur heard this hadith, immediately says, you know what, I was feeling a little bit down, you know, I was feeling a little bit down, but now Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the hadith that you reported to me now, I'm feeling extremely excited. But the Shaykh Ahmad relates this here, and he says, that was a general style even with the ruling class at that day. That when a hadith is reported to them, is raised to them, they are convinced about it. They are applying it straight away. Now the ruling class, normally we say, hey, they have nothing to do with deen. All the time is just sports and amusement. Anything else in their lives is just amusement and excitement. But now these people are so touched with the hadith, the ruling class as well, at that day, that he says, you know, before this I was feeling disappointed. But now that you related this hadith, I'm feeling extremely happy, joyous. Now the same Jafar ibn Muhammad, then he turns towards the Zubayri, and he says, when a person gets something, right, when he gets something, and he's happy about what he got, right, he got, so he's not looking like, hey, they gave him only 50 rands. No, he's happy about what he's received, right. Then that's an indication that he will get much more. In the little that he's got, he's happy about the little that he's got. When I looked at the hadith, right, how I looked at it, how I understood it, right, I understood it in this manner, that the actual giver is Allah Ta'ala. Everybody else is just a tool in the work, right? He's a tool. So the giver is who? The giver is Allah Ta'ala. So I'm not saying, hey, Allah Ta'ala, I'm not complaining. Because the complaint is really directed to Allah Ta'ala. You're going to be complaining, right? Where is it reaching? Allah Ta'ala, you gave him so much, and you gave me like this. Oh, all the scraps you gave me, and all, what would you give him? The complaint is reaching Allah Ta'ala. So when you got that little, but you're extremely happy, Allah Pak, you know, I really didn't deserve this. You know, it's just your grace. It's just your karam. It's just your fadl. Alladhi yu'ti bighayri istihqaqin. That's kareem. He gives in spite of you being not eligible, but he still gives you, he blesses you. So now this Zubairi heard this hadith. And when he heard the hadith, now he says to Jafar, you know, Jafar, you know, before this, I felt very little, you know, nothing, what scraps now. Just give me 100, 150, you gave it to me. But now that you said that, you related the hadith to me, now I'm feeling extremely happy. Imagine these people were like, not ultra pious, right? But the hadith had such a dynamic effect on their hearts. They heard the hadith, and what was the dynamic effect that it had in their hearts? The yaqeen that they had. This is what I'm talking, you know, every coming day, the yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala must grow all the time. He says, oh, I'm convinced now that this is going to be a mean for further progress. Anyway, one friend of this Zubairi asked him later on, you know, I want to know from you that what happened to that 100? You know, you had that 100. Just give me a figure from my side. But what happened to that 100 or that 50 that you got? He said, I can't tell you. In just a matter of days, that he just turned. Now, in a week or so, and that's turned to about 50,000. Where he started from and how it escalated. I'm showing you a simple manner how to become rich. The little that you got, be really happy with conviction, with yaqeen, right? Ki ye sab Allah Ta'ala ki taraf se, aur is nakar ke liye, nacheez ke liye. For me, really, I wasn't worthy of this. But Allah Ta'ala, your blessing, alhamdulillah. Falak alhamdu wa laka shukr. Falak alhamdu wa laka shukr. Falak alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allah Ta'ala, it's all praise is due to you. All shukr is due to you. I'm really, really grateful. For a moment, I'm not disappointed. So for a mu'min, for a Muslim, any difficulty that he goes through, any trial, difficulty, that, whatever, really it's a blessing. Outwardly it seems like a difficulty, a trial, right? But really it's going to turn out to be a blessing. When you're going to write your examinations, outwardly it seems like a problem, isn't it? I see the children when they're going for the exams, you know. Children means big boys, 20, 22 years, you know. Hey, they read Tajud Namaz, first serve, Quran Sharif, Dua, studying properly, what the kurtas, what the turbans, everything. Right? So, outwardly it seems like a trial, right? But after the trial is over, and they see the results, doesn't it bring excitement? So the trial, after the trial, is an excitement. Now Allah's plan is that with that trial comes an excitement, comes a joy. But understand that Allah is the bestower, He will give in His time. You can't rush Allah, no, I want it now. See, so this is the whole crux of life, that we want it in our terms and we want it now. Allah says, take it on my terms and take it when I say. But for what I have given you, be happy. Don't you be disappointed for a moment. Don't you complain, not even within your mind, oh, why is this person here? So you go in circles, oh, this person here, oh, he is the spanner in the works, he's caused the problem for me. And you know, now the latest thing is, you know, jadu, some put jadu in the shop. Therefore, the customers are going away. Not in the shop, hey, I don't get any proposals because some jadu came in. Jadu became such a big thing. But hey, you got dua, you got Allah Ta'ala. Why are you talking about this jadu and these things here? Every small thing is either jadu or either some bad luck came in. Proposals are not coming because someone put jadu. The shop is not doing well because someone. Where is your yaqeen? Where is your trust? So we're talking about now the beginnings, you know, beginnings of things, and we talk about the Bishasam at the beginning, right? Everybody has a beginning in life. You get charged, you get motivated, there's an incident, there's an event, and on that event then you get charged. You hear of Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullahi, great buzug of his time. But how he got charged, one dream, and he saw his daughter and all that, he was a big drunkard and all that, and then how he got charged. So there is an occasion. And when I look at these stories, how I understand it, is Allah wants to bless someone, right? So in order for Him to bless you, it brings about an incident, an occasion. And at that occasion, if you are lucky and you are intelligent, right, then you will take it seriously. You take it seriously, now it's a turning point in your life. But if that thing happened to you and you don't take it seriously, or one of those things, مَسَّنَ الدَّرَّاءُ وَمَسَّنَا وَأَبْرَأَنَ الدَّرَّاءُ وَالصَّرَّاءُ. These are the events of time, things have unraveled. Someday it's for me, someday it's for the next person. These things just happen natural, right? So if you take it like this, then you are like that animal. Then. You know, that animal, like the hadith says, when you fasten the thing, it doesn't know why it's been fastened. Like it's a horse or a camel, and you fastened it, so then it doesn't know why you fastened it. And you released it, it doesn't know what it's been released for. But now if you take it, now you understand the love of Allah Ta'ala, understand that this event had to take place for me to be ushered into the love of Allah Ta'ala, that you would read it differently. Allah Ta'ala loves me, but he's just shaking me up. Wait, get up now. You slept enough, now get up. So for that moment, you get a little bit disturbed. But when you see now what Allah Ta'ala has got in store for you, they say, no, really? You know, hey, you know, it's such a great blessing. You could have only got up earlier. Now you regret why you got up that time. You could have only got up earlier. So Allah Ta'ala throws these opportunities to people. Randomly he throws it. But lucky is that person, when he sees these things happening, sometimes it's depression, sometimes it is adversity, sometimes it is prosperity. But within all this, he sees the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And when he sees the hands of Allah Ta'ala, then he's working accordingly. I see the hand of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala wants me to do something here. Now let me take advantage over the situation. So we spoke about Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahmatullahi, and he's quoting his ustad, Allama Tartushi rahmatullahi. He says, he quoted the verse, Man kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi, the last ayat of Surah Kahf. You're longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. What are you supposed to be doing? Man kana yarju liqa'a rabbihi falyamal amalan saliha, wa la yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada. Two things Allah is saying, that you then do righteous things, do right things. Right things will mean, in a nutshell, it means two things. Your service to Allah Ta'ala is right, and your service to man is right. It mustn't be that you are serving Allah Ta'ala well, and you disregard it about your service to people. In other words, your character, your behavior towards people. So if you are behaving well to Allah Ta'ala, then behave well towards his bondsmen, irrespective of how they are responding to you. Don't worry about, hey, he did this to me, or she did this to me, I must show her, put her in a place, don't do all these things here. Let them do whatever they need to do, but you do what you need to do. Primarily, your relationship, your answerability is with Allah Ta'ala. When it's with Allah Ta'ala, then you try and understand, what must I do under the circumstance? See, that's what I'm getting at, that our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not like how it's supposed to be. I'm only looking at you. I'm not looking at the face of Allah Ta'ala, I'm looking at your face and doing things. I must look at the face of Allah Ta'ala and do things. One person saw a dream that this person here, Nabi Sam says that this person is my Sati in Jannat. Who he saw? He saw Nabi Sam. What Nabi Sam is saying? That this person is my companion in Jannat. So he got to know about the particulars of the person, all that in his dream. And Nabi Sam is pointing out towards this person here, and this person is the Sati of Nabi Sam in Jannat. So it makes him very anxious. It's like, Ya Amal Kya, what work did he do to enjoy this type of a blessing? He must have paid a heavy price for this. He's done something very great. So anyway, in the morning, now he can't wait for the morning, after Fajr or so, and met up the person. But, you know, I want to know what you are doing. So, what are you worried about myself? Well, concern yourself about your own akhirat. What are you concerned about myself? He's trying to avoid him. So now you must tell me. By take care of yourself. Can your Allah bless you? No, you must tell me. But why are you persisting? No, I saw this dream. So he tried crying. And he says, you see, when I just got married, right, in the second month or the third month of marriage, and now my wife is complaining about labor. Right? She's about delivering. So I understood, push. Dal mein kuch kala hai, something wrong happened here, right? But then I thought to myself, this man is saying, I'm an ordinary simple person, you know. Great people, alright, they would take great steps, right? For a person like me, I got nothing. Now I need to do something to meet Allah Ta'ala correctly. I need to get that meeting with Allah Ta'ala, I need to do it rightly. See, the whole concern is what? Yarju liqa'a rabbi, to meet Allah Ta'ala. but in a way that Allah Pak is pleased with you and you are pleased with Allah Ta'ala. Not in a manner that you are with Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Pak is displeased, I don't want to see you. إِنَّهُمْ أَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. There'll be a class of people that will be barricaded. They'll be barred from seeing Allah Ta'ala. Imagine what an evil, what a bad situation. That you are not allowed to see Allah Ta'ala at all. إِنَّهُمْ أَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِنْ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. They'll be covered, they'll be veiled from seeing Allah Ta'ala entirely. You are aspiring to meet Allah Ta'ala. You're working to see Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah says, no, you're not going to get the chance. You can forget it. You don't want to see me. How do you feel? And now this person is thinking to himself, hey, I messed up my life. But one thing I need to get right. I need to get the access to Allah Ta'ala. I need Allah to be happy with me. When I'm breathing my last, Allah will be happy with me and I'm happy with him. Now I've got a chance to do something here. It's my Sharia right to go expose this woman. It's my right. I paid the mahar. And this is what I got for in exchange. I got all the right to go and expose her. And if she's going to be exposed, then she's going to be stoned to death. Because she knows what she's done. I know what she's done. I can report her. Straight away she'll be stoned to death. But if I just maximize and capitalize on this situation here, it's my ticket to Jannah. It's my ticket to meet Allah Ta'ala. I'll be there in the hall to meet Allah Ta'ala. Imagine this hall there. Everybody is meeting Allah Ta'ala like that. And if you are thrown out, say, no, you not, no access for you, how do you feel? Even from here, Allah Pak, what a bahoti bari cheez hai, right? But a small event, like, you know, you're going to see the soccer finals playing in perhaps in Italy, right? You bought your ticket, you went right up there and said, no entry for you. How do you feel? What swear words won't come out from your mouth? Huh? What do you want to say? I bought the ticket, I did everything, got my visas, everything. And at the 11th hour you chased me out. What won't come out of your tongue? So now he's thinking to himself, no, I must get this right. I must meet Allah Ta'ala. So in that zaman, that was the concern of everybody. Right? That access to Allah Ta'ala, meeting Allah Ta'ala. I must do something. Allah Ta'ala must just throw me into his mercy. Because I don't have anything. The Buzurganadeen, they got Tahajjud, they got a lot of things to their credit. But a sada, sida person like me, I want nothing to my credit. I must get something. Now how can I maximize, how can I capitalize on this situation? So he gives his wife all the consolation, right? She can see that she is down and out, right? She's full of remorse. That she may feel that, no, I have betrayed her, you know. So when a person feels remorseful, then that is tawbah. You know, you're remorseful for the wrong that you have done. That is tawbah. Now she's made tawbah. Now I can't hold it against her. But now let me just capitalize on this thing here. How must I capitalize? So he's planning his meeting with Allah Ta'ala. He's planning his akhirat. He's planning his jannat. So what I'll do is, Allah Pak's promise is, I conceal, Allah Pak will conceal. I got a lot of baggages, and I want Allah Pak to conceal everything. I mustn't be disgraced. On the day of Qiyamah, there'll be people coming up. He cheated, right? Now, everybody is told, there's a flag that is hoisted on him, right? On him there's a flag that is hoisted, so and so, the son of so and so, and this is a treachery that is involving. Imagine the disgrace. Son of so and so from this town, and this was a treachery that he had been involved in. Imagine what a disgrace, what an embarrassment. Everybody is there. You, your children, your grandchildren, your grandfather, everybody is there. Everybody is there, then the treachery. So man say, hey, I got a lot of baggage, and I need to cover this thing up. Who of us can say we got no baggages? So now, how can I do this? How can I work this out? So he said, don't worry. I will work out something for you. I can see you are regretful, you are remorseful. Whatever happened before it happened, you are remorseful about the whole thing. But inshallah, Allah will give me some tawfiq and make it my jannat, you know. I'll try and work out something for you. I also have to meet Allah Ta'ala. We all have to meet Allah Ta'ala. So we need to have something, you know, just to expedite the whole thing. Just to enhance our host, Allah Ta'ala. Don't worry, I'll fix the whole thing up. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it will happen. Many a times we think that, you know, women, they don't have that opportunity. They also have opportunities. And they are righteous amongst them as well. Like people that are of an ordinary class, they can also excel. The roads are open. كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَاُولَاءِ وَهَاُولَاءِ مِنْ أَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ مَا كَانَ أَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْزُورًا. See how Allah says it. kullan numidu, we help all, this person and that person. And ma kana ata'u rabbika mahzura, our favors are not blocked out at any time. You are blocking it up yourself. If I've got a mall, right? And I say I got the, to talk about what, Black Friday, right? Or Blue Wednesday, as Asghar says it. That's not our life, it's not our culture, right? But I talk about Black Friday, whatever, and I'm slashing all the prices, right? What will happen? Giving it a 10%. 10%. What will happen? Be jammed up, isn't it? So Allah is saying, I throw my favors to all. Whether gunegar, no gunegar, I throw it to all. But now you're not coming to the shop. I threw it out. But you are coming in, then who is there to blame? You are the one to be blamed. I open the opportunity. I open my jannat for everybody, whoever wants it. So I'm giving you a special. But now you don't want to take the opportunity. You don't want to come through. You don't have the confidence in me. You don't have the yaqeen in me. Imagine you got married a woman, right? And she doesn't have the confidence in you. How do you feel? You know, I will do something else. I don't know about this person here, whether he look after me or not. And she's doing things on the side. How do you feel? She doesn't have the confidence and trust in you. So Allah is complaining to us. Don't you have the trust in me? I am your Rabb. I haven't shut off my favors to you. But are you making the initiative to come towards me? Are you making that initiative to come towards me? So he says to his wife, no, don't worry, I'll sort you out, don't worry. So now, the child is delivered, right, at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Now, further time is about 4 o'clock, 4:30. So he wraps the child in a blanket or whatever, nicely, cozy. And he thinks about, you know, in a quiet moment, I'm talking about 500-600 years ago, right? In a quiet moment, nobody must see me, and I slip this whole thing behind one of the doors of the masjid, right? So he did as he planned, right? Allah looks at the intention. Man's intention is like, he'll make things work for you. You make the right intention, heart is good and clean, have that yaqeen and trust in Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will make things happen for you. So, now the Imam started the namaz. He put in right at the right time, that now nobody can see, everybody is involved in the namaz, he pulled in the masjid. He got a takbir right at the right time, he got it, right? So, the Imam Sahib started the qiraat here, and the child started the qiraat that side. So, the Imam preached the namaz quickly, and everybody went towards the door. They see the child, it's an abandoned child, laqeet. It's an abandoned child now. Any volunteers to look after the child? Hey, Imam Sahib, I'm the first person, you must give me. Tawa. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْتَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. Which mother won't have that bonding for the child? She knows what she did, right? For a moment, look at the intensity of the love of Allah. What wrong haven't we done? But what is the level of mercy of Allah Ta'ala? How He covers you? How He creates opportunities for you? Can you imagine what wrong she has done, right? But can you see the love of Allah Ta'ala? Lekin koi lene wala, is there any taker? He says, this is the only amal that I think I've done. I've covered the respect of my wife. I thought to myself, I analyzed the whole thing in my mind, right? Today I can expose her and I put all the rights, right? I've got all the rights to do it. I spend heavily on her mother, right? And I've got all the rights to expose her, right? She'll be punished. You know, what she did, she betrayed me. You know, she was a cheat. And she just came in here. What she thinks of herself? I could have made this a story. But I looked at it from the other side, from another perspective. I looked at it from this perspective. I will block her today. Allah Ta'ala will block me tomorrow, right? If I'm going to expose her, she's going to be disgraced. Her parents are going to be disgraced. Her siblings are going to be disgraced. Her whole family will be disgraced, right? Her friends all will be disgraced. And the enemies will rejoice at this, right? Right? And if I'm going to block her, I'm going to block her parents, immediate family, extended family, the whole town will be all in respect, right? So now, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. So she's returned, this child is returned as an abandoned child, so there is no inheritance problem, right? Because alright, this was a child that we adopted, so there is no inheritance problem. Is there an inheritance problem? No inheritance problem. If he died just like that, right, there would have been a problem in the inheritance in the state, right? Now there is no inheritance problem. But you see, opportunities, right? Now this light Allah Ta'ala gives, and He throws to everybody, opportunities. But Allah Ta'ala complains again, I give so much, but is there any person that appreciates me? I give so much, is there any person that appreciating, any person that is respecting, any person that is showing any consideration? About 200 years ago, a whole caravan of people are moving for Hajj, right? And as they're moving for Hajj, a whole caravan. Now, you can't go alone because it can be dangerous. You're going through some from dangerous terrains you're going through. So you have to go in a whole kafla, a whole caravan. So about 100, 200 people are going together. As they're moving, so they come across one old lady, 75, 80 years of age, and she is grazing her sheep, right? So she asks, out of curiosity, okay, but where are you off to? No, we are going for Hajj. And when they said Hajj, it just ignited her. It just ignited the love of Allah Ta'ala. So I must be in this caravan. And luckily for her, she had a younger brother or a nephew that was in that Jamaat. So there was no mahram. So she joined them. So she said, auntie, there is no place for you here. Yeah, we came with our own animals, or we hired these animals. No place for you. She said, I didn't ask you for your animal. Did I ask you? I didn't ask you for your animal. I'm just merely here for convenience because I need a mahram. And this is my nephew, so I can join this whole entourage. I don't need your animal. Allah gave me feet. I'll walk the way. This old age woman. But she got ignited. You see that one. Allah gives these opportunities. But we don't see these opportunities. We don't see the love of Allah. That's our problem. Because everybody else's love. But the love of Allah Ta'ala, do we see it? Do we read that love? How much is giving? How much is giving? And how much do we appreciate? But now her heart is good. She's aged. She's laid back. She's just an ordinary shepherd. But her heart is in the right place, in the right state. So the heart must be in the right place and the right state as well. So heart is in the right state and heart in the right place. Joins them. Now they saw that this woman is really serious. She seems to be a pious person. Says, alright, Kala, you know, just join us. Just jump on. So I didn't ask for your animals. I don't need them. Now please now. Now before we didn't know who you were. Now please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, please, you know, we beg you as a mother figure, please come in. Now when they beg, see that when you take a step, see, you know what the hadith says, you take a step and Allah comes running to you. So she took the step in the right direction and you see how the help of Allah is coming. Now they're begging her to. So she jumped on. Now they reached the harbour in Tapas. From their home, the closest harbour at that time was Karachi, right? So they come up to Karachi. Now, to board the boat, to Hajj. Her second karamat comes into play, right? First karamat, you already saw it. So she must not have been a rabia. She must, you know, if she was truly, she was called a rabia. If she wasn't a rabia, or she was a khamisa. Rabia is a fourth. So she must have been a khamisa, you know, in the same line of awliya, but the woman side. Right? I say this, women also must feel to themselves that there are opportunities for them to also progress. They mustn't feel, now, you know, I'm laid back and I've got this type of husband, that type of problems. How can I progress? Take the right step, be determined, have the trust in Allah will open avenues. Don't look at your constraints. This woman had nothing. She just left a flock of sheep there and she moved on. She's charged so heavily. As though she's hypnotized by the love of Allah Ta'ala. She's drowned and she's just moving. Now, her second karamat comes into the play when they come to the harbour. As they come to the harbour, the captain says, you know, I'm not going to sell one ticket here. He says, look here, I can't see any passengers here. I'm going to charter this whole boat. I'm going to charter this whole boat. You all can charter this whole boat and take it. Now, when they chartered the whole boat, this woman automatically got a place inside. Her second karamat came into the place. Now she's there, she's come to Jeddah, and now the third leg of the journey, right? Third leg of the journey, as they're coming to Makkah, now from Makkah they need to move to Madinah Munawwara. Now as they're moving to Madinah Munawwara, now what happens is one of the wealthy women that was in that whole group, she just lost her sister. Right? When she lost her sister, she needed a companion. Now when you're traveling on a camel, right, a camel has got, you know, you've got the bag, the pack that you've got, right? But the pack is on both sides. So if it's a woman that's traveling, they pack it up nicely, that a woman can be sitting on this side and on the other end. Right? You know, the hump, and then it's like a carriage, but the carriage is balanced, has to be balanced, one on either side. So this wealthy woman comes, you know, please, I don't need your favors. She's so charged, up till now, the yaqeen is so great. Now that wealthy woman, she's saying, you know, my sister is gone, and please do show mercy on me. Please. I'll take you and I'll respect you as my mother. I've lost my sister, please do come in. Now they already saw this woman, the piety, the righteousness, the dedication. You see, you need to show that. When you show that, then Allah will bless you. But if you are just playing games with Allah Ta'ala, I do this and I play like a businessman, you're playing with Allah Ta'ala, then you get rewarded accordingly. But if you're really true and sincere, then Allah Ta'ala rewards you accordingly. Now it's that wealthy woman, when she saw this one year, she became overwhelmed. So, no, I respect you for everything, and you know, my sister has passed away. I am the only successor. I am the only heir. There's no heirs that she's got. I am the only heir. Right? And this is the jewelry that she's left. Whatever wealth she's left behind, I give it away to you as a gift. Right? See that the third leg of the journey. Now the final leg from Jeddah back to Karachi. Now what happened there was, see the help of Allah, how it's coming, one after the other. Looks like a story, but it's a genuine thing. Person who was involved, he related, who was in this whole journey, he related to Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, and why is relating it to us. So there is no breakup in the line. So now, in the return, what happened, that the children that were taken on this journey, in that zamana, you were thinking, how children came in. That zamana, they're going for 1 year, right? Slowly they're going by ship or by camel and all, they're coming back like that. So they're coming with one child, two children, on the way, making children, coming back with children. I think they were still a little backwards. So they didn't know preventive things, you know, they didn't know all these things. So going, making children, coming back, they're making children. All was working out, only now it can't work out. Now all the zaman used to be working out, now something else happened. So now, as they're returning on the ship, on the boat, now the children began to come sick. So every mother is sending the child to this auntie, make dham for her. Give some pani and make food on that. And as they're taking it, children are just becoming right. Now she's getting gifts. Now she's returned to Karachi safely, comfortable, etc. One person that was in that journey, that in that whole kafla, he got to know this auntie, he came to meet her son. So what happened? So no. That night that this happened, you know, nobody of the family knows about it. We took her for dead, right? So she was grazing some sheep, some fox may have come, or some lion must have eaten up. So we took her for dead. I forgot the story. I drove the sheep all on the didn't scatter. I took them all back. And to our surprise, after 1 year, she came back. She came back. But you see, Allah wants to help. He will create an avenue. Are there any takers? I say, Allah wants sincerity. He wants consistency. He wants you to be loyal. He wants you to be faithful. Right? That's what He wants. Is that great now? You know, being faithful, being loyal, being honest, dedicating yourself for Allah, is that a difficult thing? Allah Pak Tawfiq.